It never ends, does it? We just nitya lila. We just go one pastime to the next, to the next, to the next. I asked Gopal, like, because they just had Durga Puja, and then they were going towards Lakshmi Puja and Kali Puja, just a few weeks we had Vishwakarma Puja. They worship their tools. And you see, like, hammer, wrench, they do a puja because Vishwakarma, get his grace. This year, our construction will go nicely. We're hoping that with Jyoti Sundar Prabhu and all the plans for revealing Govardhan, the continuing episodes or pastimes of Giriraj Govardhan and Gupta Govardhan. Like, he goes where there's the fresh grass. That's the cowherd way. Because the cowherd people dependent upon grass, and by inference, then the rain, no rain, no grass. So, and then the thing, and if we don't worship Indra, no rain. So every year they have the annual Indra Yajna, Yajna by Vishnu. Even says in Bhagavad Gita, you have to do yajna if you're going to live in this world spiritually. If you're going to have some spiritually progressive life in this world, yajna by Vishnu, you've got to do that. Anad bhavanti bhutani. Mention, and Bhagavad Gita also, anna, which you can take it as food grains, but Gurudev once, he said, see, in Bhagavad Gita, because they were showing genetic engineering on TV, and some company, Monsanto or somebody, they're trying to own rice. Own rice. Like, right, no, we have a copyright for that. Did you pay your fee? I see you're growing some rice here. We own it. You know. Really, I'm not joking. They want to own different things. So Gurudev said, you can see they're acknowledging indirectly, it's in Bhagavad Gita, rice is the original food. Because it says anna. Anna in Bengali is the word for rice. They said, rice, that's the original food, and then there are other foods after that. He said, it's confirmed in Bhagavad Gita and by the Monsanto company. Anyway, this idea. But this is not a 100% spiritual concept. More in like the karma kanda, you know, we worship Indra, he sends the rains, the grass grows, the cows eat the grass, and they produce milk, and then that from that we make yogurt and ghee, butter, all the sweets that come from that. And Prabhupada used to always say milk was the miracle food. And I'm a firm believer in that. And Guru Maharaj would say if someone was doing like brainy work in Gaudiya Math, Chaitanya Saraswat, meaning like dealing with book publishing, and they would make sure that they got like a nice portion of milk every day to nourish the brain for this more refined type of thinking that's required. Oh, it's something interesting. But, so the cowherd men, they're preparing their annual Indra Yajna. I mean, you know, the day before the festival, getting all the ingredients together. And that's when Krishna, at this time, he's like 5, 6, 7-ish in that zone. And like a precocious child, he starts asking question after question after question after question, saying, what is this all about? What's happening here? Oh, we're doing the annual Indra Yagya. Oh, what's that? Well, it's, we do this as a tribute to the devatas, as those who are spiritually awakened. They understand, they don't just exploit the earth. Think, wow, look at all this stuff we found. Let's just get all of it and hoard it and enjoy it ourselves and charge others exorbitant prices. That's not, we know even so-called tribal primitive people, they don't think like that. Gurudeva and I were watching a show once and they showed like the Eskimos and the reindeer going by, and they would take one reindeer and then like with some prayers and some understanding that we're taking a life, but this is so that so many others may live. There was some consciousness. They didn't just think, oh, animals don't have a soul. Doesn't matter. Kill, why don't we capture all of them and just, you know, store them for the winter? No, he said, with some consciousness, even tribal primitive people, they approach animals. But a more advanced consciousness of Veda culture, they see everything as personal. Like, you have these people sitting around wondering whether or not animals have a soul or not. Have that discussion, you know, it'll be good. Because most people can perceive there's something there. They're very sensitive about their cats, their dogs. It would be unthinkable about the cat, the dog, for most people. For some people, not. For most people. But in Veda culture, they're saying, you know, there's a person behind the wind and the rain. The whole objective world, as Guru Maharaj says, like an iceberg floating in an ocean of consciousness. So I think behind the water is person, behind the rain, it's everything is personal because it's all based upon consciousness. So that's the kind of thinking that they have. They're not primitive people, is the point I mean to make. There is, as I, what I was trying to say is even primitive people have some sense of this. What to speak of those who are more advanced? Some people who think they're advanced want to mock primitive people for this type of culture. Others revere them for it. But Vedic culture, these are not primitive people, is what I mean to say. They have some advanced consciousness. They're not a bunch of fools who believe in the gods and the goddesses. That's another seductive Western idea that leads off a cliff. No, they understand there's something there, and not a fantasy. So they do this. Still, Krishna, as a precocious, talkative child, he wants to lead them toward toward Krishna consciousness, actually, in a particular direction. But by his questions, he's feigning ignorance. Oh, I see. So, and is this some sort of a, you know, annual ritual that it's become a tradition? Nobody can really explain why we do it. One of those things that happen. And they're saying, well, there is some reasoning behind it. But then Krishna, he starts speaking different types of philosophies, including atheistic philosophies, to test them, to tease them. And he starts pointing out things like, and karma kanda, karmavad. Their idea is they're saying, you know, whether there's a god or not a god, we know everybody has a sense of what's right and wrong. So do what is right. And if there is a god, you're doing the right thing. And if there isn't a god, you're doing the right thing. In this way, they're actually eliminating God very conveniently and establishing karma as supreme. So, and this is coming from none other than the lips of Krishna himself. So he's saying, well, we notice when it rains on the pond, it rains on the ocean. There's no need for that, but it does. It rains on cement. It rains, and if it was just a question of you need it to rain on the grass, then why didn't it just rain on the grass and the green things? It rains on all kinds of things. So this idea that it's reciprocal doesn't seem to be so true. And he said, or if you think that it's true and it's warranted, it's deserved, we did the proper things, now the rain must come, then what does Indra have to do with that? That means it's beyond him supplying or not giving. You did all the right things. Then he has no choice about it. He must supply the rain. He's showing them in many different ways, and they're like, I don't know, you know, we just gather all these things together every year and do the puja. You know, like Krishna's saying, no, so really, if you think about this more carefully, from all these different points of view that I've mentioned, whether it's karma kanda, this, that, or the other thing, or just out and out, you know, karma, reciprocity. For every action, there's equal and opposite reaction. What he's doing is, unlike the karma bodies, he's not eliminating himself. He's eliminating Indra and introducing himself in a new form. He's saying, really, what we're dependent on is Govardhan. At Govardhan, Govardhan supplies the sweet grass that the cows take and trans. And Govardhan has so many little streams and caves and wonderful things there. Really, we should just be worshiping Govardhan. Forget all this Indra yajna stuff. And actually, it's nice that you've assembled all these ingredients, but instead of offering them in worship to Indra, we should just take them all and give them to Govardhan, who supplies us everything that we need. And the Govardhan, yay! And, you know, why didn't we think of that before? Some cowherd men are going, I don't know about, you know. But they have different reactions. But Nanda Maharaj, he's like listening, you know. Everything you say makes sense. To me, I mean, they're saying, oh, you're so in love with Krishna, you're oblivious to, like, other concerns. But most people think, like, yeah, just switch it, and we're going to worship Govardhan. These are all, as Gurudev would say, simple-hearted Vaishnavas. You know, Krishna comes in talking all this stuff. They go, okay. They're immediately ready to stop that and just follow Krishna. Krishna's saying, worship Govardhan Puja, worship Giriraj Govardhan. And if you read the last few chapters, you heard, what did the gopis say? The gopis, whenever you're in doubt, follow the Braja gopis. If you do what they do, you're going to be all right. You're going to be more than you imagined could be all right. So the Braja gopis, they have a way of just marvelously, by heartfelt expression, expressing everything and just adjusting everything perfectly. So a few chapters back, the Braja gopis, they were praising Govardhan in their Gopi Gita. When they say, Hantaya Madhralabala Haridasa Bharja Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahagogana Yastayoryat Paniya Suya Basakanda Rakanda Mulai. In one sloka, they've got it all. And it's like gopi vision. This is the way they see things, and we're trying to adjust ourselves and learn to see like that. Hantayam Adrir Abala Haridasa Bharja. They say that this Govardhan is Haridas, that he's Haridas. That's very interesting, because we're saying, well, I thought it's Krishna. Well, it's Krishna, but Krishna in what way? And Guru Maharaj said, we can think of Govardhan, and when we deal with the Giriraj Govardhan, as the way we think of Mahaprabhu. Anta Krishna Bahir Gauram Darshitangari Vaibhavam. That he's internally Krishna, but he's Krishna in the mood of a devotee. So that's why they call him Haridas, They don't say, he's Hari. They could, and he is. But they're saying, they're just cut to the chase. They say, he's Haridas. He's Krishna, but in the mood of serving Krishna. He likes that. And not just any like servant of Krishna, but Haridas Varja. I mean, he's the best of the Haridasas. And Vishwanath Chakrabarti, he'll say, well, he'll talk about all the different Haridasas in his commentaries, like Uddhava's one, and this is one, like, he can go into those details. He's Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. But they say, but out of all of them, whoever can be conceived of as a Haridas, which is another way of saying Krishna Das, Krishna Kinkar, but those words are used. They say, he's the best of all of them. Why is that? Then they say, because first of all, they say, the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram are always touching him, upon him. Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha means the touch. And what does it do? Pramoda. It makes him so happy. That's what makes Govardhan's, he's like feeling the lotus feet of Krishna saying, they're so soft and nice. I like that. Like people, they like to get a massage. And they go, oh, like, you know, here's a tough massage. Kaliya got like the hard one. the rough style, whatever they call that one. The tough one, the pounding. But Govardhan, he's got like the soft touch of the lotus of Krishna and Balaram, and it's a very nice, wonderful feeling. And remember, we heard in Brahma Sangita, Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti, that all of Krishna's senses are interchangeable. Can see with his ears, his feet can do everything else all the other senses can do. Anyway, it makes Govardhan very happy to feel the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, and the cows, the cowherd boys, just feeling really wonderful at their touch. Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Sparasha Pramona Manam Tatoti Sahago Ganayastayana Pani Asuya Vasakanda Rakanda Mulai. Like Guru Maharaj's hometown, called Pani, Hapaniya. It says, Paniya means water. Hapaniya means very like sweet water. Govardhan supplying the sweet water and the grass for them. And see, the Braja Gopis, they never put themselves in the front. They'll always give other reasons why things are so wonderful. Like when they say to Krishna, when you're away from Vrindavan, do you ever think of your mother and father? They don't say, do you ever think of us? They go, do you ever think of your mother and father? Do you miss the cows? Do you miss the Jamuna? And they go, like, and miss, do you miss them? Miss them? And at the very end they go, and us too? Sometimes? So they say, it's very, the lotus feet of Krishna, and then they're supplying the sweet water and the sweet grass and all these wonderful things. How wonderful is Govardhan? This paniya suya vasa kandar kandamule. Oh, and there are caves in Vrindavan. And in those caves take place these mysterious pastimes, sweet pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the Braja Gopis. They don't say, go into the detail of that. It's mentioned, if you read in the Garga Sangita, these are not just caves. What do they call the people who explore caves? It has a name. Speleologists. What? Speleologists. Spen? Spo? Yeah, there's a word, you know. This is not like that. You know, they go in there with headlamps and everything, and then they're going, whoa, there's bats, wah! You know, like, That's the caves of Govardhan are not like that. If you read in the Garga Sangita, there are whole worlds in there. And they're like the illumination is jewels and gems. by jewel light, they're illumined. And they're very expansive. And so they mention in this prayer that there are, after they mention so many other things, then they say, and there are these caves in Govardhan too. They don't get very specific about what takes place, but they're just, you supply that and how wonderful that is. But it is an allusion to their, the confidential pastimes of Radha Krishna, the Braja Gopis. So it's multifarious, this. But, and I just have to say this because I like saying this, that we had always heard this expression, you know, they say, like when they're telling about, like, there's the secular world and then spiritual culture. And what's supposed to be the rule of thumb for how you divvy things up, you know. And it's succinctly expressed in this phrase, they say, so, and maybe it comes from Jesus, I don't know. But whether it's really directly or in, I don't know. But they say, you know, render to Caesar what are Caesar's, render to God what is God's. And they're saying, and that's how you're supposed to, like, so we go, oh, okay, we owe the government this much tax or like that. And then we set this aside for the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. No, for spiritual things, which could include that. But, you know, it's how you, the, what's the ratio and the, so like, render to Caesar what is Caesar's and render to God what is God. And everyone like, that sounds doable, right? And a way to go on in the world, but not 100% in the Krishna world. Because Krishna, what he's telling, in this case, Indra is Caesar. And Krishna's saying, you know that expression, render to Caesar? No, take what was meant for Caesar and also give that to Giriraj. That's the program. And, you know, I'm just speaking here with no implied, you know, they can run a thing at the bottom of the screen to indemnify. But here, we're just talking reality. The truth of the matter is, everything should be given to Krishna. And not only that, ourselves, including ourselves. And that's what they're doing by taking this risk. Right? As Guru Maharaj said to me once, he said, you're familiar with the expression, no risk, no gain. And I thought, yeah. And I was like pleased with myself. Yes, I have risked everything to take shelter at your lotus feet. And what a gainer I am. I couldn't be happier. But then Guru Maharaj realized I'd already fallen into this trap. And he said, but there was another plane. All risk and no gain. And in the midst of my being pleased with myself, I thought, well, wait a minute. What was that again? He said, all risk, no gain. And he saw that my face changed. I was trying to realize, is that what he's actually saying? You risk everything. And then Guru Maharaj, now I look totally bewildered, and he was smiling. First, I was smiling, and he was now a reversal. And I was like, all risk and no gain. Yes! Are you ready for that? And I was thinking, am I ready for that? And I'm like, read the fine print. You will risk everything and gain nothing. He said, that is Gopi Bhajan. They're willing to risk everything for Krishna with no concept of gain. Otherwise, like Prahlad says to Nrsingadev, and why it's symptomatic of Shuddha Bhakti, Nasa Britya Sabaibanik. I'm not a businessman calculating, I'll do this, and then the Nrsingadev will jump out of the pillar and kill Hiranyakashipu. No, or he said, I do this because I love you, I have affection for you. I'm not thinking what I'll get by doing this. That's, again, the karma kandik thing. Someone on Shivratri brought Ganga Jal in a bottle to Gopeshwar and then handed it to the pundits, and then they dropped it. It slipped, and then it broke. And the legend among the people was, he then became like a Crorepati, a millionaire. So now every Shivratri, all these people bring glass jars full of Jamuna Jal and hand it to the pundits, and the pundits just break it. Take another one and break it. And there's like glass everywhere like this. It's ridiculous. But it's a gross visual representation of that type of consciousness. I'll be religious to get something. By being religious, I'll be happy in the world. It'll improve my socioeconomic circumstance will improve by being religious. Therefore, I go to church on Sunday or bow down 5 times a day or whatever it is. You know, do dandavats around Radha and Shyamakunda. I'm just saying this because it has to be said. Otherwise, I wouldn't say it. Because of the people I work for. They require that I say this. So Krishna's smashing all of this in one fell stroke. And they're like the simple heart. They just like, why? Because Krishna said it. When Mahaprabhu says to Satchimata, I have a favor to ask for it. Yes, one of them. Don't eat grains on Ekadashi. Observe Ekadashi. She didn't go, and why? She says, yes. Done. Anything else? No, that's all I wanted to say. And we hear some, you know, different levels of realization of the cowherd men. To flesh this out, to help us understand, there may be varying levels of realization, of course. But they all really just do. This little boy Krishna, little cowherd boy, convinces all these adult, senior cowherd men and cowherd women to break this tradition. And now, and what do you say? Offer everything to Govardhan. And they're like, yes, sir. When did we start? Now. We already started. And they're doing that, and they dress very nicely and get all the best things together, and now they're just going to do Govardhan Puja. And they do. And we're told, Indra, he's thinking, isn't it time for my annual yajna, the Indra yajna puja, and the tribute that's given to me? You know, what's going on down there? And you see, like, all backs turned to Indra. They're like worshiping Govardhan Puja, singing, dancing, having a big celebration. Indra's like, what? What audacity they have. And he thinks, on top of it all, like Brahma thought, he's just a baby. A kid. I saw her walking with a baby. He's just a kid, this little punk kid, talkative kid. He like convinced all these adults to follow him. That made him like extra angry. It's one thing if it was some old wise man with a big long beard, I think we should know. You know, it wasn't like that. It's this little child, Krishna. And they're all, and he's thinking like, this makes it even worse. They're all following, and he said this, overly talkative, precocious child. Well, you're going to see what happens. Because these devatas, they're thinking, they're like the masters of the universe. The Lord, you're like, I control the rain. What do you do? You know. So, And what does he do? He also has thunderbolts, clouds. He can do tsunami, tornado. He's got a wide arsenal and starts throwing all that towards Vrindavan. And then we know it starts raining like crazy, and Vrindavan, thunderbolts coming down, thunder, lightning, tornado, flood, all that thing, things you can imagine. And the cowherd people, it's so beautiful, because what do? They turn to Krishna, and, you know, the looks on their face, the cows, like, you know, they're all making sound, they're really fearing for their lives. And what are they saying? What any sincere devotee would hope to say under the most trying circumstances to Krishna. What is their vision? They're saying, the reason we're in trouble now is because we listened to you. We're just doing what you said. And look at the reaction that is coming from that. Because we see when you try to pursue Krishna consciousness, the order of Krishna, the world comes as a reaction to stop you. It's that simple. Like Guru Maharaj said, it's not when you decide to be a devotee, they're going to throw a parade in your hometown in your honor. Say, oh, did you hear so-and-so is giving up the world pursuing Krishna consciousness? Oh, let's get together and celebrate that. No, it's just the opposite. They're figuring out ways how to stop you. The people, generally, the people surrounding us and the world itself in mysterious ways starts presenting itself as an impediment to your pursuit of what you've heard from Krishna through his agents, Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, and Vaishnav. So they're turning to Krishna and saying, Krishna, 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 what did I say? Oh. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. You know, Krishna, Krishna, who's, you know, you're the ultimate good fortune for everyone. So it seems like by listening to you and following what you said, some misfortune is coming to us, but we know you are good fortune personified. So rather than us thinking of what to do, we're just going to turn to you and ask you to save us. So adults, elderly, even gopis, and the cows, calves, they're turning to Krishna. And we're told, and Krishna's, it's heart melting for him to see this, that they don't seek another shelter. Like Guru Maharaj deals with us in Prapanna Jivanamritam, about a previous shelter, a new shelter. Yeah. Once someone takes shelter of Krishna, and Guru Maharaj would say that, if you say, even after so much apparent invested energy, trying, I don't appear to be an example of a Krishna conscious person, to put it mildly. I don't feel that it's affected me. He said, but if you can candidly admit that to yourself and at the same time say, yeah, I have no other shelter, I'm seeking no other shelter. So then you might actually be a devotee. So they turn to Krishna. And so in the verse it says, Deve Varshati. Deve Varshati Yagya Viplava Vrusha Brajrasa Varshanilai. Indra got very angry, his ego was hurt. Sent all this rain. Siddha pala pashu striyatma shananam drishvanukam utsmayam. Seeing how they're all like now suffering on account of following his order. Now the world, the current of the world is going against them, literally and metaphorically. Drishvanukam utsmayam, anukampam means it awakened Krishna's compassion. Look, they're suffering. because of what I said. They're suffering for what I asked them to do, not on their own account, not some karmic thing, because of doing what I asked them. Utpatyeka karena lilots chilindram jata. And it's very saying Krishna comes out of his house. There's his, Vishwanath says, his some Hariki Shakti. I mean, he is wearing a beautiful turban at the time, dressed very nicely. It's raining like mad. So, and he goes from his house to Govardhan Hill, and the Samhariki Shakti makes a channel. Not one drop of water got on his turban. Like that, it was just, you know, this funnel toward Govardhan Hill. And then it says, and the way a child picks up a mushroom, which looks like an umbrella, with his left hand, he lifted up the Govardhan Hill and called everyone to come under. And then all the cowherd, men, women, gopis, the calves, they all went under the Govardhan, and he's holding Govardhan, and they're all sheltered. No, Raghunath Das goes, Nija Nikata Nivasa Dehi Govardhanatvam. He's praying to take shelter of Giriraj Govardhan. And Ma Yashoda and Rohini, they're looking at Krishna. He's like, remember, he's a child, small child, and he's holding this. And Yashoda, under the influence of Yoga Maya, she's thinking, how long can he hold it? She didn't think, like, how could he hold it for any length of time? But she's thinking, it's like, day one, day two, 7 days he's holding that. And then Yashoda and Rohini, they're thinking, like, maybe he'll become weak. Because sometimes Krishna, out of the corner of his eyes, like in the Bhogarati song, says, from the corner of his eyes, he gives sidelong glances to Radharani and Brajagopis. He's also trying to impress them. Like, they try to impress, they're only like, and they're impressed. But then sometimes it's like, whoa, a little bit, whoa, you know. And the cowherd men, they're holding up with their latis, the sticks they use. And so Yashoda's thinking, he needs to eat something. So they start going with fresh butter, pushing butter into Krishna's mouth to give him some strength to keep holding that. And then at the end, and then Endra realizes nothing's working. He's beginning to realize his foolishness, and this is all because of my ego being a big god in heaven. And then stops all the raining, thunderbolting and all that. And then Krishna puts down the Giriraj Govardhan after 7 days. And some cowherd men, they come up and they start massaging his left arm. You know, like, yeah, it's a little sore there, you know. They're like, does it feel better? Yes, keep. They're doing that. How much they love Krishna and how they don't think this is God himself, it's nothing for him. If he decides to release gravity to make it float like a rock on the moon, there's no problem. But it's always an opportunity to show their love and appreciation for Krishna. So Indra begins gradually realizing the foolishness of his ways and the divinity of Krishna. Said in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Muhyanti Yatsuraya. We're being prepared. It's not so easy to understand Krishna, conception of divinity, his aprakriti lila, his human-like pastimes. So it said, even the gods are bewildered, is announced in the first sloka of the Bhagavatam. In the first two sentences, Muhyanti Yatsuraya, you will see in this book you're about to read. The gods will even be bewildered and trying to understand Krishna. The Brahma Vimohan Leela happened just like 10 chapters before. And in the ninth canto, Mohini Murti and Shiva. Right? And here, Indra Mohan. Right? So then Indra, his carriers, the Airavata, who, interestingly, it's all connected. When did he appear? You are a man from, you and Sundarna are men from Angkor Wat. When did Airavata appear? From the churning of the milk ocean, Mohini Murti at time. Kurna Avatar, along with Chandra, the moon, and Lakshmi. It's not just random. Chandra Bangsha, Sri, ultimate nectarine substance, Madhura Rasa. So Indra comes with his elephant and the Surabhi represents like all the Kamadhenu divine cows. And what do? They do an Abhishek for Krishna. And Surabhi's Abhishek with milk, unlimited milk, and Airavata with like the Ganga Jal or Jamuna, you know, water. And the Indra is offering so many prayers and praise of Krishna. And at the last line of this sloka from the Bhagavatam, Bibram Goshtam Madhubit Priyana Indrogavan. Indra at last says to Krishna in his realization, because he is Indra. Indra means king. They actually have names. If you look in the Bhagavatam, just like the, you know, Swayambhuva Mano, the Indra's a title, means king. Like Gopendra, anything that ends in Indra means king. But he's generally called Indra, because king of heaven, but has a name. They're saying, I'm Indra, supposed to be king of heaven, but you are Indra Gava. You're the king of the Gava means go, means cow. You're the king of the cows. I'm supposed to be Indra, king of heaven. But really, you're the king of everything. But that, who's really the king of kings, he appears as this king of the cows. So you're Indra Gava. And if we reverse that, it becomes Gava Indra. And if you join them together, it's like Govendra. And it becomes Govinda. So Indra is saying, oh, I know who, you are Govinda, the Lord of the cows, the king of, you are Govinda, you shall be known as Govinda. Actually, Krishna is eternally Govinda, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarvakarana Karanam. You say that's Sarvakarana Karanam, the original cause of all causes, the king of all kings, the Deva Deva, the Deva's Deva. Is Govinda, and you are that Govinda. And where they bathed, Indra, where Indra and Surabhi bathed Krishna, Govinda, we were, just had the opportunity to go there, is Govinda Kunda. And on the basis of what is contained in Garga Sangita, at the Gupta Govardhan Govinda Kunda, Srila Gurudevi wrote Arati, and in one of the lines he's saying, some fortunate souls, when they're bathing in Govinda Kunda, if some of the water may enter their mouths while they're submerged, and sometimes some fortunate souls, they will taste that water as the Charanamritam, as the milk that bathes, that Indra with Surabhi bathes Govinda Krishna. It's very beautiful what he wrote there. So, this is that Govardhan Puja, and it's so special and unique in our line. Krishna, as a so-called Vaisha in the center of the Varnashram system, his method for extending consciousness of himself is like the Vaishnavas. They just make cows. They have a potent source, no conception of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra cow. Just the potent bull, and then they make so many cows. They're saying, when Krishna wants to extend consciousness of himself and the form of the Krishna consciousness movement, as preached, practiced, promoted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this method is adopted by Srila Saraswati Thakur and his followers. And it's the mercy, the grace that is the outcome of this method of distribution that allows us to participate. No diksham nacha satkriyam nas purushchargam managikshate mantra ram rasanas prageva palati Sri Krishna nam atmaka. No prerequisite, no prior qualification. Just the will of Krishna to distribute himself. And this is his method, and the recollection of these pastimes and service to them brings us in connection with that merciful plane of divine distribution. So, Giriraj Govardhan ki jai, Sri Govardhan puja ki jai. I like to sing this one song, which alludes to this. Just Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari.